victory, that we're on our way to the path to defeat. But maybe you voted to leave the European Union, and today you think we've just started out on the path to victory for our country. And it's been fascinating watching and reading about it, and all the great and the good of Europe and standing up of the world, giving their opinions and fighting it out, whether overtly or whether sort of behind the scenes. But it's been fascinating. And I just think it ties in quite a bit with what I'm speaking on, because I'm speaking about the Kingdom of God this morning, and very specifically the Holy Catholic Church. Looking at what the church is, and we're seeing that it's holy, it's a separate people, it's Catholic, i.e. there's only one church, and it's a universal church, and it's a church, it's the called out ones. When we think of the Kingdom of God, when we think of the church, and maybe somebody would ask you, who are the great people in the Church of God, or what churches are the great churches in Northern Ireland? And you'd maybe your mind immediately goes to the names that would roll off your tongue, the people that are like famous within Christian circles in Northern Ireland, the churches that are big, the green pastures, the white wells, the big Presbyterian churches. What about us? Are we a great church in the Kingdom of God? What about you as an individual? Are you a great person in the Kingdom of God? Well, we're going to read, because there's a woman came to Jesus, and she had an interesting request. We're going to read about it in Matthew chapter 20. I've read this story many times, but today I just thought, or when I was preparing for this, I just thought this is really class. And it's wonderful, the honesty of the Bible and the honesty of God. And when you see people just for who they are. Then the mother, this is Matthew chapter 20, verse 20. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons, and kneeling down asked a favor of him. "What is it you want?" he asked. She said, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in the kingdom." "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said to them. "Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father." And we'll stop there. We'll read the rest later. But here's a woman coming to Jesus with her desire for her two boys. You know, she's probably been one of the women who has been traveling with Jesus, supporting him, looking after him, looking after the disciples. She has been there all the way. Excuse me. And she's seen how her sons have been with Jesus, and how they have got to know Jesus, and how Jesus likes them. And she's thinking, right, she's heard all this about how, you know, things are going to change, and she wants to get her wee speak in. And she says to Jesus, "Jesus, do me a wee favor, will you? Let these two boys of mine be one at your left and one at your right." I think it's lovely. You know, she gets a lot of criticism, and the guys get a lot of criticism for not understanding. But it's a good desire of their heart. You know, if we're just measuring their desire, she's wanting them to be great in the Kingdom of God. The guys are wanting to be great in the Kingdom of God. And I just think it's interesting when I ask myself what my dreams are in the Kingdom of God. What are my ambitions? What are my hopes for myself? But even because we're thinking about the church, what are my hopes for Shiloh? What are my dreams for Shiloh? You know, what about yourself? What do you think would be make you great in the Kingdom of God? Maybe you think it'll soon be time for you to pen your first book, and you know, have it in the front window of the Faith Mission Bookshop. Maybe you're like Taddy and you want to go on the God Channel. Could you imagine? Oh, that tickles me. Maybe you want to see great miracles done. Maybe you want to raise the dead. What would make you great in the kingdom of God? What about Shiloh? Wouldn't it be great if Shiloh was like the buzz church? You know why there's always a buzz church around where it's the place to be? Everyone's talking about what God's doing there, and everyone's talking, and all the young people are coming, and it's brilliant. Look at this, look at that. And wouldn't it be great for Shiloh if we were the buzz church? Packed, need a new building, get a new building, class new building. Fantastic church. Well, the answer to our question we're going to look at today, what would make me great in the kingdom of God? What would make Shiloh great in the kingdom of God? And it really, to me, highlights some of what we've been talking about the Holy Catholic Church. Because you see, the church has become, or our idea of the church has become lots of different things. And today, hopefully, we'll see a little glimpse of why the church is so important, but also what the purpose of the church is for. You see, the purpose of the church is not to entertain us. It's not to meet our wants and our supposed needs. It's not for us to come along and receive what we want and then to leave. It's a place for us to come because it's the only place in the world that exists where Jesus is held on high. It's the only place in the world that exists where Jesus reigns amongst his people. Because nowhere in the world, apart from in his church, is Jesus lifted high. You didn't hear the fans singing last night at the football match about how they'll only follow Jesus. You don't hear them on the TV talking in Europe about wanting to uphold the ways of God and how important that is and how that is the most vital thing. The only place in the world where Jesus is king or where he's exalted as king is amongst his people. Where his people come together, and he only has one people. You know, he doesn't have lots of different churches. It's just all the church, they come together in little groups. And that is the only place where you can come, where Jesus is lifted high, where he is king. And you see, that's what the purpose of church is to come with God's people so that we can bring our praise and our worship to him. It's to come to that place where Jesus is and where his word is. Because we have all our own ideas, we have all our own ambitions, hopes, plans, but this is the place where you come to find out from God, to meet with the living God. It's like that lady who came to Jesus with her little request, God, I've got a favour, or Jesus, I've got a favour to ask you. It's like us coming, as we meet together like this, it's like us coming to Jesus. Yes, we have Jesus with us always. He'll never leave us or forsake us as individuals. But as we meet together like this, we're meeting with the body of Christ. We're meeting with Jesus in a fuller way, in a very different way when we come together as a church. We're bringing our praise and worship to him. We are discussing, hearing, talking about God's word because we come in with one mind. We're coming to find God. We're coming to find out what he wants for us. We're coming to find out what his word says. We're coming to be made into disciples. That's why we come together, so that we can build each other up in the kingdom of God, so that we can minister to each other in the kingdom of God, so that we can make each other more like Jesus, so that we can be transformed to be more like Jesus. I'm going to read three verses. The first one you will find in Romans chapter 12, very well known passage. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. I'm not going to put these verses necessarily in the context of their whole passage. You can do that at home and make sure that I'm not taking them wildly out of context. Paul says to the Romans, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then we're moving over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 18. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Again, we have another verse about being transformed. And now I want to turn you over to the same book, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. It says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. These three verses are very much talking about ourselves and our attitudes and our minds and our thoughts and our ideas and everything that there is that sort of defines how we get about life and what we think about life. What God is saying is, I want you to come to me and I will transform you. I will change your ideas. I will change how you think. I will change what you think is good and what you think is bad. I will transform you. And very much the place where God does that is in the church. Is as we come together like this. Because this, as I say, is the only place. And I'm not talking about Shiloh, I'm talking about the church when it comes together. Is the only place where God reigns. It's the only place where the people that you're meeting with all are thinking the same. All are thinking, I want to honor God. I want to glorify God. I want to be transformed. I want to hold God's word on high. I want to live by it. I want to serve him. I want everything about God to be exalted. I want everything of myself to be diminished. It's the only place where we can come together of that mind. We come to Jesus as we come to the church to be transformed, to be changed. And I heard somebody had made a comment recently about how the church they'd gone to before, they always came in and went out exactly the same way. But not so when they came along here, they had left thinking differently. We come to church, and as each one of us comes to church, we have our own pattern of our thoughts. We have our own ideas, we have our own ways of thinking. And the idea is that we come to meet Jesus, just like this mother did. And let's see what Jesus said to this mother, because this mother has come with her two boys, saying, Jesus, can these boys, do me a favor, let these boys, one of them sit at your left and one of them sit at your right. Well, Jesus has already said, no, that's not possible. But let's see what he goes on to say. Verse 24 of Matthew chapter 20. When the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. I love that as well. They were thoroughly miffed. These guys trying to slip a fast one, trying to get to the top of the pile. But anyway, Jesus called them together. So already you have the... And I'm just sort of saying this. Already you have the potential for an awful lot of problems here. You know, and if this was happening at the golf club, this would be the source of lots of problems. And you could imagine, you know, here's two guys, they've gone with their mummy, And their mummies try to get them to be, you know, the best two positions in the golf club. The other members of the golf club, they become all, oh, well, who do they think they are? What's going to... And you can imagine how a situation like that develops. And there's mistrust and there's division and there's all the things that happen in the kingdom of the world. Well, Jesus gathers them all together. He's going to nip this in the bud and tell them a thing or two. He says to them, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. And he's basically saying, you know how the world works. The ones at the top of the pile, they're the ones who control whatever, how everything works. They're the ones that lord it over you, and the wee, poor wee guys at the bottom, you have to do all the sweeping of the floors. That's the, you know, they're the minions, they're the ones that have no rights, they're the ones that get, that have to serve everyone else. That's how the world works. Not so with you. Verse 26. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. And then he goes on to justify what he says. Because he says, just as the Son of Man, speaking of himself, did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. What Jesus is saying here is, when you come to Jesus, see, when this mother came to Jesus, she had her own ideas. She, the patterns of the world were still very much her thinking. And she came to Jesus. Jesus says, no, I'm not going to let you be conformed to the pattern of this world, but rather I'm going to transform your thinking. I'm going to turn your thinking completely round. I want you to take this idea that to be great in the kingdom of God is to be lording it over people, is to be the highest, to be the one who is served. I want to take that idea captive. And I want to release you to be free from that. I want to transform you. I want to change your way of thinking. I want to change that pattern in your mind. He goes to show them that to be great in the kingdom of God is to become a servant in the kingdom of God. And let me tell you, this is something that God is always at work with, trying to transform. Well, certainly from my experience, we are so set in our ways of thinking. We're so set in the pattern of the world. We see it all around us. We still think for Shiloh to be great, we must be big, we must be bright, and we must be beautiful. We still think for me to be great in the kingdom of God, I have to be doing things that the world thinks is great. I have to be raised up. I have to be doing fantastic things that other people can see. And we have that so ingrained in us because that is the way every single part of this world operates. And that's why I don't blame this mother at all for coming, because it's a completely natural way to think. But every time we come to Jesus, he wants to turn us, he wants to transform us, he wants to take our old ways of thinking captive and give us a new way to think. He wants to transform us by the constant renewing of our mind. And it takes time. Jesus shows us that to be great in the kingdom of God is to be the servant of everybody. To be the first in the kingdom of God is to be the slave of everybody. And he says, just like me. And he says that in other places, how that, you know, the followers aren't above the master. And if the master served, well then the followers should serve. If the master gave his life for everyone, well then the followers should give their lives for everyone. The picture of being a servant and a slave. The local church, I've said two or three times already this morning, this is the place where Jesus' reign is manifested, where he is exalted, where hopefully we're all of the same mind and we're all wanting God's word and we're all wanting God's ways and we're all wanting to hold them up as the best ways, as the only ways. We want God's church, as we come together, to be an oasis of heaven. Because that's what happens in heaven, you see. In heaven, God's will is always done. In heaven, God is always exalted. In heaven, everyone acknowledges God as King. Everyone acknowledges God's ways as the only ways. But on earth, it's only when we come together like this that is so. It's like an outpost of the kingdom of heaven, an outpost of the kingdom of God. So we come like this woman with our ideas if we come into church. And we don't know their foreign ideas. We don't know their wrong ways of thinking because that's the way we've always thought. But the whole purpose of church is that when we come here, we meet with Jesus. The purpose of coming here isn't to be entertained. The purpose of coming here isn't to get our wee worldly needs met. It isn't to come here to go away with a smile on our face. The only purpose for us to come here is to be with our brothers and sisters so that we can meet Jesus. So that we can meet God. So that we can come to God whether we're having a good week or a bad week, whether we're feeling like Christians, whether we're feeling like scum of the earth. But we can come here and regardless of all that, we can praise God for who he is. We can come to him and we can bow down before him and worship him for who he is. That is why we come to church. We come here because we recognize what God says. We recognize that he says that we need our minds transformed. We need them renewed. Even the very fact that we're feeling like not going to church is a complete evidence that we need our minds transformed. Because if you remember our series about this being Zion, if really our minds have been transformed and we recognize this as Zion, we would never want to go back out through those doors. This is the place where we come to meet God with our brothers and sisters, because Jesus says, as we meet together, he is here in our midst. He is here this morning in our midst. And as we leave to go out, God's plan is that our minds will have been a little bit more transformed. Not necessarily just by the preaching. Because it isn't the quality of my sermon that's going to renew your mind. It's not those passages. Tell us it's God that renews our mind. And he can do that during the prayer time. He can do that during the praise and the worship. He can do that through the sermon. He can do that through the silence. But it's the fact that we're here meeting together in his name. And we can leave here with some of our ideas having been taken captive. Where we are free to walk in the kingdom of God and in the thinking of the kingdom of God. To be great in the kingdom of God, and this is our bit of thinking today. What is it to be great in the kingdom of God? Well, it's to become like Jesus. That's what those passages tell us. To be conformed into the likeness of Jesus. And of course, what was Jesus like? What is it to be great in the kingdom of God? It's to be born in a stable. It's to be brought up in complete obscurity in a wee tiny village place that most people had never even heard of. It wasn't even on the old maps. It's then in your adult life to be homeless. To have no possessions. That's what it is to be great in the kingdom of God. What is it? To have no respect. Nobody respected Jesus. The authorities didn't respect who he was. They rejected him. They betrayed him. This is what it is to be great in the kingdom of God. To be mistreated. For people to think the wrong things about you. Jesus had the whole mistrial. And he ended up to be murdered. Because he was laying down his life. to save us. This is what when Jesus said to the two guys sitting in front of him, I don't think you can drink from the cup I'm going to drink from. I don't think you can drink my cup. And they said, oh, of course we can. Not probably having a clue what they were talking about. And Jesus actually could tell, yes, you are going to. You're going to lead great lives in the kingdom of God, because you too are going to end up homeless. You too are going to end up disrespected. You too are going to end up mistreated. And you're going to be drinking the very same cup that I'm going to be drinking. And it is the greatest cup in the kingdom of God. It is the only way to victory in the kingdom of God. This just isn't normal. And that is the whole point. It's not even normal. This way of thinking isn't even normal in Christendom. In sort of if you think of Britain being a Christian country, you know, the majority of that doesn't see this as normal. This is abnormal. This is weird. But you see, the church was never supposed to be normal. It's supposed to be where the kingdom of God is. It's supposed to be Zion. It's supposed to be where God's ways are held high. And God's ways are not our ways. They're much, much better. In fact, Jesus says the kingdom of God, it isn't at all. It's out of this world. The church is revolutionary. In some ways it's rebellious. It's rebelling against the patterns of this world. In fact, it's subversive to this world. But this is what it is to be God's holy Catholic Church. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you for